Amen. Awesome. Okay, carrying on, kingdom living. That was that was the only thing I didn't edit. Heart and soul. Should have been strength saying up there today. Okay. It's all right, we'll put strength up for next week when it's something else. Awesome. Strength. Love the Lord God with all your strength. Strength. Who's strong? John, you're strong. You just put your hand up because that's. I need you to listen. Who's strong? Anyone strong? 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 Physically strong? No one wants to be. Listen, I haven't got any hidden weights. Right? I've got nothing hidden that I'm going to make you try and pick up or put above your head. Is anyone strong? You've got strength, haven't you? You're not all like jellyfish and you can't move around or anything on land, you know. You've got bones, you've got muscles, yeah? So you're strong, you've got strength, okay? But you know what? Who's ever been to the doctor for a checkup? Been for a checkup? Yeah, I've been more than once. Okay. But you know what? We need a checkup with God, okay? That's a spiritual checkup. And part of our spiritual DNA, part of our spiritual self, is a strength that God gives us. That, you know, when we're strengthened by God, okay? So we need, actually, not just to go to our doctor and get a physical checkup, we also need to go to God and get a spiritual checkup. Effort is required to live this life as a Christian. It takes effort. It's not easy. Jesus never said it would be easy. So it takes effort to live this life as a Christian. To run a race physically, you need to train your body. Okay? You need to do some running. You need to maybe go to the gym and lift some weights or whatever it is. But you need to put some effort in to train your body to become strong, so that you can run a race. And it's the same with this race as a Christian. We need to train our body, we need to train our minds spiritually to run the race. We need to love God with all our heart and soul, as that was done a couple of weeks ago. We need to love our neighbour, as what Phoebe was talking about last week when she came for Hope for Justice. And we need to love God with all our strength, you know, all our might, whatever you want to call it. But we need to do that, to run this race as a Christian. If you go to the gym, and we're away next week for a few days, and then when we come back we're joining the gym, because I need to tone up and get stronger and fitter. When you first go to the gym, if you then just go straight on a machine, you've never been to the gym before, and you go straight on a machine, machines, and start working your legs, right, and start working your arms, but do nothing here, do nothing in your core, you won't have these big arms, but you've got nothing to hold them. You might have big legs, but you've got nothing to move them. The core needs to be strengthened first. The core is what we need God to strengthen in us. Our core is God. So we always need to work on our relationship with Him. See, if you build... So we've got Station Street building, the church there. Now, and we said about the work that we want to do on it. But if we wanted to go 3 or 4 stories up, and we built on that building as it is now, it'd be like that. You might not see it wibbly-wobbly like a plate of jelly, but I assure you, it would be like a plate of jelly, all right? There'd be no strength in it. And so what would happen? It would collapse. So the best thing to do is actually tear out the foundations and or strengthen the foundations of the building to make it strong enough to take the extensions. Well, that's like our life. Unless we build the foundations first and build them strong, you know what? You can have all knowledge, you can have all gifting, but unless your foundations are right, you will fall. You will fall. Trust me, there's been enough good men and women who are leading great big things who have fallen. And it's because their foundations weren't strong enough to take all that they went. God is a God of foundation building. Need to dig deep and build foundations, okay? If something hasn't got roots, a plant hasn't got roots, it doesn't grow, does it? Well, there is one apparently that grows without a root, some spongy sort of thing. But it will be blown around by the wind, won't it? Yeah? So we need to dig deep. We need to have roots. We need to have foundations. Okay. Strength. Who's the strongest man in the Bible? Isn't it a trick? Samson? Okay. Yeah, but he wasn't a man, was he? He was only part man, really. So Samson. We're going to take a little look at Samson this morning when we look at strength. Because I thought that ties in very well, doesn't it? Samson being a strong man. See, the thing is, something that struck me this week while I was preparing for this morning was this. Whenever you see a picture of Samson, or you see a film of Samson, okay, he's always portrayed muscle bound. I can't remember, it was the man who played him in like the 50s or 60s film. Yes, that's him. His first name, I couldn't think of his second name. So, he was quite a muscly guy, you know. But whenever we see anything about Samson, he's always big. He's always a muscle bound person. And I started thinking, would Samson have really been a muscle bound guy? Because if it was a muscle bound guy, would he then be able to say that the strength is his? That whatever he did, picking up a donkey's jaw, doesn't take strength. You know what I mean? It's a donkey's jaw, you know? A normal person can do it. But to kill 1,000 men, take God's strength. Okay? So, my question was then, was God... I don't mean that God, that Samson was some tiny little puny person. But I think he was a normal man. He was a Nazarite. But he was a normal man. He wasn't a man that went down the gym and worked out and had muscles exploding everywhere. I think he was a normal man, because the thing is, being a normal man, doing the feats that he did, would then give God the glory. God doesn't like sharing his glory. Okay? So if it had been a muscle-bound man, it stands to reason he might have had to share his glory with a muscle bound Samson. So I think he was a normal guy. Just, you can argue with me, that's fine. It's not now. You can talk to me afterwards if you think I'm wrong, and if you think you're right, but I don't believe that God would share his glory with a strong man. So what does loving God with all your strength mean? Does that mean, like Samson, we kill the enemies of God? Does that mean that we physically turn up for church and every church meeting that there is? I don't think it is. I think it's more than that. I think it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, relying on God. Asking God to strengthen us in whatever we do. It's not just turning up physically, but spiritually as well. And that's not just at church meetings, but also with your family, with your kids. I'm there physically. But do you engage? No. And your wife or husband's going, I'm here. The kids are playing here. But what are you doing? I've had a hard day. We need to engage. engage with the community around you. Physically, spiritually, God enables us to do both. Ezekiel 22:30. If it comes. Ezekiel 22:30. Take his earphones out. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I take that to mean that God wants people to stand in the gap for their families, for the country, for the county, for their towns, for the communities. He wants people to fight the fight. He wants people to love their husbands or wives and raise kids and teach them about God's love. Not just teach them God's word, but teach them about God's love. How it affects their life, how it applies to their life. You see, the thing is, we can do it all. Because God gives us it all. God has given it all to us. So that means we can do it all. I'm not going to read all through what Samson did, because we'd be here for quite a while reading the chapters. But I wanted to read it for yourselves at some point, just to go through it. And it's Judges 13 to 16. It's all the chapters there. See, the thing is, we all know of Samson's great deeds. You know of the stuff he did. His accomplishments are legendary. But so are his weaknesses. Okay? But Samson's not unlike us, though, is he? You see, we can act in great strength, and yet in the next moment our weaknesses come shining through for everyone to see. Samson, also like us, has a great God and also has great God-given potential, and in this moment can also self-destruct. What we need to understand is that Samson was an incredibly strong man, but he was an incredibly strong man with a dangerous, weak will. Let me just ask a question. Are you like Samson? Are you like Samson this morning? God has given you a great gift, but you're not very strong-willed. You're weak-willed because you're not being strengthened by God. Samson's strengths and weaknesses, okay? Here we go. Just four in each that I've tried to pinpoint for a moment. In Judges 13, his birth is announced by an angel. Number two, he's set apart and chosen to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Them two are a little bit like Jesus, aren't they? Not comparing Samson to Jesus. Just saying, they're a little bit like Jesus. His birth was announced, and he was sent to set the captives free. But he was strengthened by God. Number three, he had incredible strength from God. Incredible strength from God. You know, to rip a lion apart with your bare hands. We did chase the lions last year. 500-pound lion. Boy, to fight that with your bare hands and rip it apart. Take some strength. And number four, he tore apart a lion with bare hands. He killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. His weaknesses. Excuse me, got a little bit of my frog in my throat this morning. Number one, weakness. He compromised his vow for a handful of honey. He was told not to go near dead things, not to touch dead things. He killed the lion, went off, came back because he was going somewhere because he fancied some woman in the town. And on his way down to there, he was like, oh, a bee's taken thingy in the lion. I'll go, there's honey. So he took honey from a dead lion. So he touched something that was dead. He had uncontrollable fits of anger. Number three shows it. His wife and him, he gave the Philistine people, her friends in the village, a riddle. It says it in the Bible. So he gave them a riddle. And they couldn't get the riddle. They didn't know the answer. So she went on his ear roll. You're making me look stupid. Not even I know the answer to the riddle. So after a while, Samson gave her the answer. She then went to the men of the village and told them the answer. Wives, don't do that. It's not good. Because he got rid of her after that. Not killed her. He got rid of her. Okay. So then people came back with the answer. Now, he gambled, right, at this point with it. What he said is, if they come back with the answer, I'll give them all clothing and all that, right? So she told the people the answer. They came back to him and gave him the answer. He, in his fit of rage, went down into the village, killed 30 men, took all their clothing off them, and took them back and said, here you go, there's the winnings. Killed 30 men to pay off a gambling debt. And this was one as well. He had an insatiable weakness for women. He says in, I'm trying to remember what verse it is now, where he says, that woman, I want her. He says to his family, go and get her for me. I want her. And insatiable. Delilah. See, this is the funny thing that just came to my mind this week about Samson. Samson had great strength given to him by God. But he didn't live his life strengthened by God. God wasn't on the throne of his life. See, I think we'll get to it later, but I think he was a little bit prideful. Look at me. Maybe he was muscly, I don't know. He knew the letter of the law in his head, but he didn't know it in his heart. Because if he did, he wouldn't have touched the lion. He wouldn't have killed the 30 men to pay off a gambling debt. He wouldn't have got drunk before all this at a party getting drunk. Because he wasn't supposed to do it. That was all part of his life as being a Nazarene. You see, us today, I found this quote the other day and it just blew me away. I said it to the guys on Thursday. It's not about how much you know about Jesus, but how much you trust what you know about Jesus. Say it again. It's not about how much you know about Jesus, it's about how much you trust you know about Jesus. See, you can be a non-Christian and read the Bible, and there's lots of historical facts in the Bible, and you can find out all sorts of stuff about Jesus. You can read books, you can read study books all around the books of the Bible and find out loads of stuff about Jesus. But it doesn't necessarily mean at that point that you trust what you know about Jesus. That you know him in your heart and that you've given your life to him, basically, if you want to put it that way. It's not head knowledge that changes your life. It's stuff that you know in your very soul. That's what changes your life. Head knowledge is great, but heart knowledge, and that the difference is from just reading the Bible to consuming what the Bible says. That's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. We need to be people that read our Bible, yes, but we need to be people that take what the Bible says and apply it into our lives. Let it seep to the very soul, of the bottom of who we are. Only that way Only that way will we live the life that God intends us to live. It has to go right in. You know when you're doing something, and so I love Tammy. I knew that I loved Tammy quite quickly. Yes. And the thing is, the question I asked myself, you know, I've said this before. One, I've got to get this the right way around there. No, it's nothing to do with you. It's not having a go at you. This is a question I asked myself was, could I live life without her? Well, yeah. Do I want to live my life without her? No. And so I asked her to marry me. So, yeah, emotional. So, but you know when you have something like that where it's deep in your gut where you go, oh yeah, oh, I love Jesus, I love my wife, I love my husband. I hope you have that feeling about your husband and wife. But it's just this, oh, I love them so much. They're great, you know, I love them. That's your very soul. It's the pit. You know, we call it the pit of our stomach. You know, oh, I know that feeling so well. Let me ask you some questions. Are you fully committed to work but fail to engage with your family? Are you aggressive at work, chasing down everything you can to get the job done and yet passive and hands off at home? Do you spend 3 hours searching for what you want to buy but struggle to read or pray for 5 minutes? You see, we all do it. We'll go on the internet. Oh, I'm looking for a new pair of shoes. Well done. I'm looking for a new shirt, or I'm looking for a new guitar, or something like that. All the different shops. Oh, I like that one. A bit too much money. And you've spent ages. But when it comes to spending time with God, of reading the Word or praying, it's like, yeah, done that. Tick box. Or, yeah, I've got something to do later in 3 hours. So that's enough spent. Let's go. We need to spend some time with God. Do you love God? Do you love your wife or husband? And yet find yourself in a secret world of lust, looking at things you shouldn't look at. Maybe watching women or men walk down the road, or watching stuff on the telly, or on computers or tablets or phones. We need to engage with God and engage with each other. Samson was born in a time when the Israelites, as it says in at the beginning of chapter 13, had done evil in the sight of the Lord. That's Judges 13:1. And they were handed over to be ruled by the Philistines for 40 years. Let's just read Judges. Might need my glasses. There we go. Judges 13. If I skip, I skip. Don't worry. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or drink strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome." I like that word. "I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, so then drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing.'" I wonder if she did the voice when she told him.
Behold.
For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with a child who will be born. God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, Behold, the man who came to the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, Are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now, when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, If you detain me, I will not eat of your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. And it goes on. Okay. The angel says Manoah's wife was barren, but that she would become pregnant and give birth to a son. He was to be set apart from birth, and that he would deliver Israel from the Philistines. See, there's a thing with us there, isn't there? When we're born again, we're set apart. We are to help deliver the people around us. He wasn't to cut his hair, don't eat anything unclean, nothing fermented, no alcohol. Although we can be set apart for God's plans and purposes, we can still make mistakes. And I'm sorry to say this, but if anyone says to you they don't make mistakes and they're a Christian, then they're not telling the truth. And then it makes me doubt whether they ever repent of anything they've done. Because we all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. We all of us make mistakes. Including me, sometimes. But we went through my stuff the other week, didn't we, when we looked at Corinthians a few weeks ago. Some of my weaknesses. I hope you went home and read that afterwards for yourself and put your own name in there. It's good to do that. Spiritual check-up. Judges 14:1-2 says, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Weren't very nice either, was he? Listen. There are three things. Okay? There are three things, maybe even more, but these three things I just want to spend a little few moments speaking about. There are three things, that when you're not walking in God's strength, guarantee will come at you or to you, right? Be part of your life. Lust, entitlement, and pride. I want it. Has there ever been a time in your life when you just wanted something? No matter what the circumstances, whatever the, doesn't matter what the consequences are. Maybe you've lusted after something or someone. You didn't ask what God thinks. At that moment, you didn't really care what God thinks. You have no care for what he says in his word. In fact, it'll make you even shut down even further. And I want it because I'm entitled to it. And this is the thing of entitlement. I deserve it. I deserve it. The hard work I've done. I haven't got drunk for 20 years since I became a Christian. Just once. I deserve it. I haven't looked at pornography since I had that problem with it. Just once. I'm entitled. I deserve it. I want it. These attitudes are not a sign of someone living in God's strength. They're not a sign of someone being kingdom minded. These are things that make strong men and women weak. Have a weak moment. Doesn't mean you can never go back to God. But don't do that as a reason. Oh, I can do that. And then I can go back to God. Let me just say something to strong-willed men and women. It's good to have a strong will. But that strong will needs to be like a horse. Like a stallion. That is strong. But when its bridle is under control, the bridle is like God. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I am. That's just me. I used to be like that. What was my saying? That was it, wasn't it? That's who I am. Don't try and change me. That's who I am. And then God gave me a few slaps down the years. But different times when I said it. I said, really? I thought you followed me. Shouldn't you be trying to be like, or living your life like me? And actually, when you came to me, then I put a new heart in you and new desires inside of you and change you. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Sorry, God. Doosh. Left hook. It's how God deals with me sometimes. Maybe I made a decision a long time ago. I'm right. I'm right about that. I know what it says. Well, it's about time, and today is the time, that you get strengthened by God. Let go of what you think is right, and learn what is right by God, with God, being spoken to by God, strengthened, loved by God. You see, there's danger if we think these ways. It's almost like saying, I go to church every Sunday, therefore I'm a Christian. Or I was born in the UK. We're a Christian country. Getting more secular every day. Because I was born here, I'm a Christian. If I ask my family, seriously, none of them are born again. They're not born again, that's not what I'm thinking about. They might go to church for a funeral. And they might go to church for a wedding. I wouldn't even put Christmas in there. Okay? But if I said to you, you know what, if you fill a form in, and it says, what are you? Christian, all the different religions. They'll tick Christian. Because that's what they believe. And they will believe that they're going to heaven. And I keep telling them, no, you won't. You need to know God. And you need to accept Jesus. Just because you go to church, or you was born in a certain country, or your parents are Christian, doesn't mean you are. We need to live this life in God's strength. You see, there are things coming our way. There's always things coming your way, my way. There's always things coming against us. or wanting to come against us. And we can only come through them by being strengthened by God. And then we come to pride. I can handle it. That's what pride says. Pride says, I can handle it. See, Samson was talking about this with the youth on Friday. Was either very dumb or prideful. Prideful. Because I suspect, because otherwise we'll get to that in a second, that he'd already touched dead things, he'd already got drunk, he'd murdered 30 people in the town for no reason, and he could still call upon God's strength when he needed it. And I even think that maybe he thought, even if his hair's cut, that he'd get away with it. I'll leave that with you. But it just something, when I read through it and kept reading, and I'm like, oh. See, the thing is, the reason why I said he was either dumb or very prideful was this. Three times, Delilah said, what's the secret to your strength? She was paid by the Philistines to find out why, so they could capture him, bind him and capture him. She says, what's the secret to your strength? Oh, old ropes, and they've got to be done seven times. Or I'm going to wax with the words, okay, for a moment. So she did it. And as soon as she did it, oh, the Philistines are upon us. Just so happened to be there. And they come, he breaks the ropes, kills a few, they all run. She comes to him, you've made me look stupid. You've made me look completely stupid now. Why have they made her look stupid? Unless she's telling someone. Yeah? Do you get that? So he tells her again, he tells her another lie. Well, it has to be new ropes. And never used. So she ties him. I think she might be a bit stupid as well, yeah? So she ties him. The Philistines are upon us. Bit of ropes. Kills a few. They run. Third time. Does it again. The Philistines are upon us. Kills a few. They run. So then on the fourth time of her saying, you've made me look stupid. And it still ain't twigged him. See, this is the thing. He's either dumb or prideful. He's either dumb and don't get it. Or he's prideful and think it doesn't matter. And he says, he tells her, seriously, he tells her the truth. Three times she set him up, and on the fourth time he tells her the truth. Maybe it was both. Maybe he was dumb and prideful. There's a lesson here though for us. We are dumb when we don't walk strengthened by God. See, when we live like this, like Samson, I'm strong. I want it. I can handle it. I deserve it. We are drawn to things that should be of limits to us. You see, it's sin tightening its grip on us when we live life like this. It's sin strangling us. You know, I'm not going to go into it. I've done the whole cake shop where I've walked up and down. I've talked about going on the wrong side of the road, but it's okay with cake. I can handle it. And then in the end, you're in the shop and you're going, I can handle it. But actually, 10 days later, you're eating cake. And you were supposed not to eat cake. This is what happens when sin starts to get a grip of us. We go further and further away from God. Because sin has drawn us in. The devil's clever. Seriously. He ain't going to get you to sin by getting you to do something you don't like. don't know why I've got my hand on my hip. Right? He's going to draw you in by causing you to put things in front of you that you enjoy, that you know are wrong. And he did it to Samson. And he fell. Move forward. Samson is bound and has his eyes gouged out. When we see it in the film, we see it, and that's bad enough, they get the fire and his eyes so he can't see. But they actually get their thumbs in and gouge his eyes out. Ugh. Unless they did it with a spoon. I don't know. Yeah. You see, the thing is, on the outside, Samson looked right. Yeah? Did he look right? He had his long hair, never been cut. If you see Samson Dan walking down the road, you'd be like, there's our leader, there's our hero. And that's the problem, isn't it? Samson looked good on the outside. We can look good on the outside. We can raise our hands in worship at the right point. Hallelujah. Well, no, hardly anyone in here says that, but you can do if you want to. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, whatever. Amen, when the preacher's preaching. We try that sometime. Because it's really good to encourage people. So, I'm saying it that way instead of moaning at you. So, woo. One church I know, the whole front row will be up with their Bibles. Rah! Like, wow, that's cool, I like that. And all he said was, good morning. Good morning. Rah! We're ready for the word of God. Oh, I quite liked it. There you go. See, there you go. That's what I like. That's good. You know what? The more you encourage some of the preachers up here, the more maybe animated they'll get. Maybe, you know, preach better, yeah? Yeah, you might even get some somersaults going. But you know what? God says he looks on what's on the inside. What's in the heart. Doesn't want to look on the outside. Problem with humans, we look on the outside. We look on how people look. We look on people, how people sound. Yeah? If someone came in here, church, I think it was Churchies, isn't it? Is it Churchies? It was something I was trying to think of the other day. Christianese. You know, church language. And they came in and they said all the right words. And they looked the part. How many would go, yeah, going for it, Christian? How many? You don't have to put your hand up. Right? But how many would do it? Talks in the Bible, doesn't it, about false prophets. There'll be a day when you hear something and it's not right. Actually, a lot of people will fall to it. Samson had his hair, but what was going on inside? What was going on inside? You see, the thing is, if what goes on inside isn't, if what goes on outside isn't mirroring what's going on inside, then their heart has drifted. Their heart has drifted from God. And maybe their sin has got its grip on them. And they're being drawn even closer and more deeper into sin. We're coming to a close. Oh yeah, we better as well. To be strong men and women of God, we need to admit our weaknesses. Don't like doing that. So that our weaknesses can be strengthened by God. You know what? Let's be real. Before I start doing the thing then. I'll show Ben when he comes out. Natural. Just a natural. Anyway. I can floss. So. I go off. So, anyway, let's be real people. I went to a church once, won't say where it is, case some of their church here online. So I went to this church once, and it didn't serve. I mean, the minister did make me do that. I normally sit there like that. If you're ever preaching, there could be two reasons that I really come forward. One, because you've said something that I go, yeah, that's cool. You have to look at my face then. Or it could be that I've come forward going like that because you've said something really stupid, right? So this minister said something that I really just, it wasn't correct. And at the end of the service, I didn't go up and say he was wrong. All I said was, good morning, how are you? And there was about five or six of her church near her, right? And she went, I can't really say that, can I? There's people here, they'll hear. So what? You can't get your people praying for you if you're struggling with something or something's going on in your life. Really? Wow. We need to be real people. When we have something that's a weakness or something that's come against us, you know what? It's better for us to be strengthened by God so that we're not drawn into sin, and also to get the church praying. Or at least someone in church, if you don't want to tell everybody. Don't have to tell everybody, okay? But at least tell someone, get someone praying with you, asking you how you're doing with it. Okay. Three attitudes that make weak people strong. We're nearly at the close. We're there. Number one, I want God. That's number one. I want God. Whatever God has got for me, I want it. Number two, I deserve death. Yet God loves me. And number three, I can't handle anything without God. God has to be in everything in my life. That doesn't make me weak. Actually, it makes me stronger. Because I can admit it. And then God comes in and strengthens me. We're going to finish with three bits of scripture. And then we're going to take communion. We're going to have some notices. And then we're going to worship Jesus. I'm reading this from the message, the first one, so you might not get it in your Bible unless you're on the phone. And then you can change the message. Psalm 121 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble, your guardian God. Won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. I know in some version it says, my help. Where does your help come from? God's strength is our help. God's strength is our help. We need to be people that are strengthened by God. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I don't know what you're facing today. But wherever you're facing today, you need His strength. You need God to be at your side. God to stand with you, lift you, hold you, carry you, take you, go at the front of you, be at the rear of you, be at your sides. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's give God the glory by coming to Him and asking Him to strengthen us. Lord, we just praise Your name. Let's just stand. Maybe you need to, maybe you haven't hooked up to God's strength for a while. Maybe you need God's strength right now. I need it. I need it to walk every day. I need His strength in my life every day. And I thank You, Lord, that You're always with me. That You're always there. That You protect me, that You guide me, that You strengthen me, Lord. Lord, I just pray for anyone this morning Lord, that just needs Your strength. Maybe they need Your strength to do something physically. Maybe they need Your strength to help them walk through a situation. But Lord, we just pray for whatever that is this morning. Lord, that they will call out to You, even right now, before we take communion, that they will come to You and ask You to strengthen them. Because I know You will. In every way. Lord, we praise You, we bless You. If anyone wants prayer this morning, the front will be open for prayer before you take communion or even after. It's fine. Lord, bless Your name. Bless Your name. Lord, You went on the cross, Lord, so we could call on Your strength. Because You set us free from all things. Bless You, we love You. We lift Your name on high. We glorify You this morning, Lord. Amen.